talking with the experts.
Now, what are some common pricing mistakes, Rob, that people are making that, you know, again, like me, I just pick a figure out of the air and think, yeah, that sounds about right. But, you know, am I really giving myself the value in a monetary wise and satisfaction wise that the thing that I'm actually giving to my client?
Yeah, so the first big mistake is people price based on their own internal values. And common things that we're in, money is the root of all evil. Money doesn't grow on trees. Can't afford those new trainers, Rob, because like we don't have the money. We can't go on holiday because we can't afford it. Those are really common arguments that happen in the Waite household when I was growing up. The problem with that is that if you don't see the value in it, how are you going to confidently articulate that to your customers? And B, also, you're making a decision on behalf of everybody out there. There might be some people who'd be willing to spend 10 times the going rate to work with Rose.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts. Here we discuss all things business, by business owners, for business owners. Here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson, from rosedavidson.com.au. Talking with the Experts is all about business, by business owners, for business owners. You can find it on all podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And today it's my very great pleasure to introduce you to Robin Waite. And Robin is from Fearless Business, and he's going to be discussing with us pricing and money mindset. Now, Robin is the founder of Fearless Business, an expert on pricing, a regular keynote speaker at business events, and best-selling author of several books, including Online Business Startup, Marketing Machine, and the recently popular release, Take Your Shot. He's put two decades of experience to work providing business coaching to coaches, consultants, and freelancers worldwide, helping them to productize their service, articulate their value, and confidently charge more. Robin, it's such a pleasure to have you back on Talking with the Experts. Tell us a little bit about your background and why it's so important for us not to fear the pricing structure of our services and products.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know I may not look it, but I've been in business for 20 years now, which I still can't quite believe myself. But I started my first business way back in 2004 doing marketing. So we were doing web design and branding, so traditional hourly rate type services. And I managed to grow that business over the course of 12 years. We hit at our sort of height about £250,000 worth of revenue. We had 180 clients clamoring to, you know, have our services delivered to them. And I had a small, possibly slightly dysfunctional team of four people. Maybe it's because it was led by me, I don't know. But of course, during those 12 years, I made pretty much every single mistake that you could make under the sun, in particular when it came to pricing. And even now, I kind of look, but I mean, every business has to start somewhere, right? And I remember our first year in business, and I had a business partner for the first few years as well. I think we did £16,000 between the two of us. This is way back in 2004. I thought it was wonderful. I was, you know, fresh out of university and making my own money and I'm my own boss, and I can go to these meetings. I remember driving around in my car, you know, in the middle of the summer thinking, this is great. Like nobody to have to answer to, you know. And then of course, like life starts to happen and things get more expensive and the struggles start to kick in. And it ultimately, I'll let you ask whatever questions you want to ask, Rose, so you can pick my brains on it. But 12 years into that business, I ended up having a breakdown. I was out cycling with my buddies on a Sunday morning, and I went down there's a local categorized climb, and I went down it. I hit 52 and a half miles an hour going down this hill on my push bike. And at the bottom of the hill, I just broke down in floods of tears. And my mate's like, gosh, what's up, Robin? I said, don't worry, just go and get the coffee and cake lined up and I'll come and meet you at the cafe. And took a few moments of reflection and realized that ultimately I was just massively unhappy in the business that I'd been running. It was just totally unfulfilling. Money was okay. But there were just some problems, many problems, which I'd kind of created for myself, but I didn't know how to get out of them. And what ultimately ended up happening was I shut the agency down. Literally, I went into the office on the Monday and told my team, this is it, I'm closing the agency. Of course, I had to have the conversation with my wife, who was 8 months pregnant with our second daughter, Sophie. And she's literally our international sign of distress going out, like, what on earth are you thinking when we're about to have another child, you know? But ultimately, it worked out in the end. I was fortunate, word spread that I was winding the agency down, and somebody came in and offered me a small sum of money for the client base and some intellectual property, which we created. And that gave me a chance to reflect. And it was ultimately the catalyst for me stepping into doing sort of some informal mentoring and then coaching, which is what I do now.
Yeah, no, great journey. I mean, sorry about the breakdown. I mean, that's not, but sometimes we need that breakdown to realize that we're not on the path that we want to be on, and that there's something better out there. So, yeah, kudos to
That's
you for
it.
picking your socks up and taking the leap of faith.
That's it. Well, I didn't realize it at the time, but I'd been on this steady sort of decline for about 18 months to 2 years, and then all of a sudden it just culminated in this just like complete overwhelm. I think every business owner goes through it, and I think sometimes, we present on social media all of the highlight reel, don't we, of our amazing lives as entrepreneurs. It's rare that people talk about this stuff that goes on behind the scenes, the struggles and the worries, the anxiety that running a business can sometimes create. And
Absolutely.
I'm on a personal mission. It felt awful at the time. I'm actually really grateful that it did happen, because it led me into a career which I absolutely love, and I can't see myself doing anything different now. So I consider myself very, very fortunate. But there's a lot of business owners that are still stuck in that struggle and don't quite know how to lift themselves out of it as
Yeah,
well.
we used to own a fish and chip shop some years ago, and I absolutely hated it. My husband refused to sell the business. And I just hated going in there, and I'd make every excuse I could under the sun not to go to work, to do the
Well,
paperwork.
it's sunk, I'm guessing
Not,
for him it was sunk
I
cost
just
fallacy
hated
that
it.
you probably invested so many years of your life and energy into this business. It's very hard sometimes to walk away from it. And definitely with the agency, I felt there was an edge of that, of like, I felt a bit of guilt around the customers. I felt like I was letting them down. I felt like I was letting my team down. I felt like I was letting my wife down. So there was a heck of a lot of guilt in making that decision. But again, the hard part is actually living in indecision. If I hadn't have made that decision, I'd have carried on suffering and whatever was causing that suffering. And yeah, so eventually making that change was best thing I ever did.
Absolutely. So I guess, going on from that, how do we productize a service? How do we do that? It's not an easy step. I mean, if anyone's like me, I just think, yeah, I've put a lot of hours into creating this particular service or product, but what's a fair price? So how do we actually go about doing it the right way?
Yeah, so how I learned about productizing services is a fantastic book called Built to Sell by an author called John Warrilow. And it's told as a parable about this guy who's running an agency. So there was a lot of alignment when I listened to this book probably 10 or 12 years ago now. In one of the things that he mentions in the book is to look at the steps that you're how do you deliver your service, actually break down the steps of like how you deliver it. And so I started to look at my business. So we were very traditional sort of design agency, charging £50 an hour and hourly rates and that sort of thing. But some of our projects would drag out over 2 or 3 months, but we'd only be able to bill because of the, lack of communication oftentimes, the back and forth. I call it design agency ping pong, when you're sending composite logos back to somebody and getting feedback, and they say they like this bit and this bit and this bit, and it gets very frustrating, not
Yeah,
just
the
for us, but
horrible.
also for the customer. Yeah. So there was a lot of frustrations around how we were delivering it, but I looked at our system, how we actually the steps we went through to deliver that, and I found these 7 steps that we did with each and every client, irrespective of how long it took. So first of all, we identified those steps. That once we'd identified them, it did reduce the time down, but the average project went from about 3 months down to 6 weeks. So it's great, cut the time in half, which sped up our cash flow cycles ever so slightly. But I didn't feel we could charge anymore because we were still only doing those 10 or 12 hours or 20 hours of billable time. And then one day somebody walked into my office and they said, we've got then, and we've done a couple of projects with them, so I knew them pretty well. So it was a good opportunity to be able to pitch something different to them. But they said, "We're launching a new product next week. Our other designers let us down. Could you help us out with the logo?" I was like, "No chance," because I knew our process was like 6 weeks. I was like, "I don't know." And he said, "There must be something you can do, surely." And I had this idea bubbling around in my head of, "Well, what if we could do this in a day, like a one-day branding workshop, logo design workshop?" So I pitched it to him. I said, "Listen, I don't know if I can make this happen, but if I can organize one of my designers, if they're free, and you can carve out a day to come into the office, we'll sit down and we'll create this collaborative, like, one-day branding workshop." And he said, "Great, sounds perfect." And it so happened we booked it in for the following Thursday. And it was really interesting because then he said, "How much?" And I was like, "I don't know." And I remembered the time quality cost triangle. You know, you can have it done well and fast, but it's going to be expensive. So I just went £1,500, which was effect like three times our effective hourly rate that we charged previously. And he immediately said, "Yes, yep, no problem. I'll transfer the money." And he literally, that before he left the office, he transferred. So we got paid in full up front. We had this 1 day logo design workshop with a client. He came in. It was hard work, but we delivered his, electronic version of his logo. We got his style guide, pretty much finished in the day, sent him away, and he was super happy with it. It blew my mind. And then a few weeks later, somebody else, one of my mentors, actually called me and said, "Hey, Rob, I've heard that you've started doing these 1 day branding workshops. I've got the perfect client for you. Can you drive up to York tomorrow and deliver one of them?" And I was like, and I live in Gloucestershire. So for those who don't know, there's like 250 miles. It's a 4 or 5 hour journey to get up to York. And I was like, I had plans and a young family. I didn't want to drive up to York. So I said, "No," I said, "not for £1,500, not doing that." He said, "Well, give me 5 minutes." He phones back 5 minutes later and he said, "Rob, you're probably going to want to get in your car because I've secured you 18K to come up to York to deliver this thing tomorrow." I'm like, absolutely blew my mind. I mean, he was my sales mentor, so he was a master at sales, really great at articulating value, and that's where I then went on to learn a lot of what I know now. So I drive to York, deliver this workshop. Again, on my drive up that evening, money just drops into the bank account. Again, paid in full in advance. It was a tough workshop, so there's like a team of 23 people all inputting ideas, but it worked. We made it work. And then another magical thing happens. I get the opportunity to speak to the CEO of this company that we're doing this 18K branding for. It transpired we were working for the software company underneath the main business. I go upstairs speaking to the CEO and I see these ginormous canvases, like 20, 25 foot canvases, five of them with composite logos printed on them. I'm like, "What are these things?" And he said, "Oh, well, you're branding our software business. We're rebranding the mothership, the main brand, and this business is worth £60 million pounds a year revenue." I was like, we had a conversation about it, and I was like, "God, you must be paying a lot to have these ginormous canvases, like, shipped to your office." And he said, "Yeah, it's 250K." And I'm like, another mind-blowing moment. So for the same thing that we were charging previously, £50 an hour, that we elevated to £1,500, and then we sold one for 18K, there's a company out there who's doing kind of a similar thing, I mean, on a very grander scale, but for 250K. And I think ultimately what it comes down to is, when you're productizing a service, three simple things. One, what is the dream outcome you're delivering for your client? A lot of business owners, service business owners, they'll focus on what they do, time and materials and doing the designy thing, but they won't focus on, like, what is the outcome the client gets from this? Well, a logo that they can launch their product with or their brand with, and that's going to be the face of the business. How much is that actually worth to somebody? The second part of it is then, can we deliver that in a fixed period of time? So we nailed it. When we like got it down to like a 1 day logo design process, like, again, nobody else was doing that, and that became our USP. So we were able to do good quality design fast, but it was expensive, so we could charge more money for it. And that leads us on to the third thing. Can you then allocate a fixed fee for doing that piece of work? And this is where a lot of business owners, they'll jump in with, "Oh, well, it depends. It depends on whether the client sends their stuff back in time. It depends on, the type of work that we're doing." And so we actually banned "it depends" at Fearless HQ. Our clients are not allowed to say it's a swear word and they get fined for it. Because "it depends" is basically code for, we do too many things for too many different people. Therefore, we can't create a regimented system or process around it. And actually the goal of a business owner is to remove as many variables in your business so you can have a streamlined system or process which delivers predictable results and outcomes to your clients. And that scares a lot of business owners, but I've helped thousands of business owners now to kind of hone in on what their sort of hero product is and charging a fixed fee for it and creating that system. And the one phrase, and then I'll shut up then, Rose, you can ask me some more questions. The one phrase I want everybody to remember is, and this is what makes you an expert, this is the Talking with the Experts podcast, is you need to be known for doing one thing really well for one specific type of client. And that positions you as the expert. And how much do experts get paid? A lot. Generally, they're the most expensive in the market.
Great advice. I like that. Yes, I do like that. I think I'm going to raise my prices now.
Good, excellent.
Now, what are some common pricing mistakes, Rob, that people are making that, again, like me, I just pick it a figure out of the air and think, yeah, that sounds about right. But, am I really giving myself the value, in a monetary wise and in a satisfaction wise that the thing that I'm actually giving to my client.
Yeah, so the first big mistake is people price based on their own internal value system. And like 99% of people weren't brought up with trust funds or a silver spoon in their mouth. They're not like, I come from working class white boy brought up in England. Like, I have a lot of privileges. I'm not going to shy away from that. But all equally, my parents worked hard. And common things that were in our money is the root of all evil. Money doesn't grow on trees. Can't afford those new trainers, Rob, because like we don't have the money. We can't go on holiday because we can't afford it. Those are really common arguments that happen in the Waite household when I was growing up. And unfortunately, a lot of that stuck with me until I started to learn about entrepreneurship and money mindset and investing and stuff like that. And I've had to re I spent 20 years hearing these negative stories about money, and I've spent 23 years now kind of reprogramming it and starting to understand like money and things like that and wealth better. So that's the first one. And the problem with that is that if you don't see the value in it, how are you going to confidently articulate that to your customers? And B, also, you're making a decision on behalf of everybody out there. There might be some people who'd be willing to spend 10 times the going rate to work with Rose. Right. But if you don't believe in that value, you're not going to be able to find those clients because it's like yellow car syndrome. You kind of r project and reject, like, that whatever's going on inside you. So that's the first one. The second mistake is then looking at your competitors. Now, that's not a bad thing in its own right because you can learn some good stuff from your competitors as well. But when it comes to pricing, you don't know that how they've priced their products or services. Whether it's actually priced for profitability, they could be losing money pricing their products in a certain way. So you're about to copy a flawed business model. And the other thing to remember as well is that, let's say, you've got Dave who's copying Susan's prices, and Susan's copying Kevin's prices. Kevin's looking at Ryan's prices. Ryan's looking back at Dave's prices. Well, which of those four service providers are experts in pricing? Very few of them. They don't know what Rose and Robin know about pricing. So they kind of just plucked a number out of the air as well and just started charging that and then hope that things would work out. Did you know as well, Rose, if you had 100 coaches or web designers or accountants, put 100 of them in a room, just 10 of them typically extract 60% of the value out of the market.
No, I didn't know that.
So, and it's pretty common across pretty much every industry, which means that you end up with 90% of people working in an industry scrapping over the final 40% of the value in that market. So it means that a vast majority of people are kind of below average market rate, which is why if you are going to look at your competitors, elevate your prices so that you're somewhere, you don't have to be the most expensive if that's too scary, although it'd be great to work your way up there, but at least put yourself in the top 10%. Because that means you're able to extract the vast majority of out the market. And then the third common mistake which I see happening the most is discounting. So a lot of people see that you can create attraction offers, but provided it's not eroding profitability too much, that's kind of fine. And if you've got an expensive product on the back end that you're then able to claw back some of that revenue. But again, a lot of business owners don't have their they don't understand the economics of how that works, and so they kind of start offering discounts, but then everything they get seen or perceived as a discount like warehouse, so everything's discounted. The challenge, though, is that most people assume like a 5% discount means you've only got to sell 5% more of the same product, which, you know, or service, which doesn't sound that bad, does it? But actually, what happens is when you discount, because money gets eroded through the profit and loss account, your expenses, and it's kind of compounding. So actually, a 5% discount typically means you've got to sell 14% more of the same product or service to make the same net profit.
Yeah.
And by the time you get to a 20-25% discount, you've almost got to sell double the same product or service for the same net profit. Imagine that, working twice as hard for the same money. So discounting is like one of the worst things that you can do in business. And I actually prefer, like, if you've got something of high value to offer that has this high perceived value, but doesn't cost much, that's a great way to kind of start to build trust. So giving away books, having a YouTube channel, maybe a free intro course, stuff that, you know, is highly leveraged, but doesn't really cost you that much to give away to people, rather than discounting your core offer.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense, actually. And I think, you know, I mean, I've offered discounts at, you know, Black Fridays or, you know, Boxing Day sales or something like that, but I wouldn't discount during the year because, to me, you know, you're quite right. You have to work twice as hard to offer the same work. So, you know, to me, it makes no sense. Now, how, Robin, can we change our mindset? Because, you know, I grew up in a family where, you know, you can't afford this because of this and you can't do that because of something else. So how do we change our mindset as business owners to get over all that negative stuff that we've grown up with?
Yeah, great question. So one thing which massively helped me, and it's one of those things that just happens, is like you get these flashes of the blindingly obvious, and it's so dumb. Why didn't I see that before, right? So I realized, I always used to think I was the business and vice versa. We were one and the same and intertwined, and actually you're not. So here's me, here's my business. Imagine if I'm having a bit of a wobbly day, lack of confidence, my money mindset, you know, the monkey gremlins are jumping around like saying, you're not worth anything. And I bring that into my business. All of a sudden my business is now hasn't got very solid foundations because I'm allowing my own mindset to impact the profitability and the solid foundations of my business. So the first thing we do is we just separate the two out. And you can have your own money mindset wobbles going on over here all day long. That's absolutely fine. But your business, when you show up for business, you need to be solid as a rock. And you need to make sure that your business, and cash is the lifeblood of any business, like the oxygen of a business, right? And you wouldn't deprive, most people see their business as their baby, right? You wouldn't deprive your son or daughter or your favorite animal, like pet, of oxygen. So it's the same with your business. If you go turn up with your funny wobbly money mindset and you deprive your business of cash, you're killing your business off. And so we need to separate the two out. Cash is like the most important thing as well. And I think just some basic things around understanding numbers. A lot of people shy away from it because they're like, oh, I'm not a numbers person. No, that's an excuse. Like, everything in business is about numbers. It doesn't matter whether it's like audience growth, conversion rates, how many leads, appointments and sales you're creating, the value of each of those sales, average customer lifetime value, first order value, got your profit and loss account, you've got your cash flow forecast, you've got cash in the bank. Everything in business revolves around making the numbers work. So in my view, there's no excuses about like, oh, I'm not very good with numbers. If you're not sure, go and ask an expert. Go and speak to an accountant or a financial, you know, somebody who does get it, who can explain to you just the basics of understanding a profit and loss. But again, I see a lot of business say, there's a cliched saying, isn't there? Turnover is vanity, profit is sanity, cash is king. So I'm very much about like cash being, cash flow and cash being the foundations of any business. Because you can look at your profit and loss statement and it can look great on paper. But if you've got a negative cash flow cycle and you're not able to collect that cash that the P&L is showing, and you're expending more money before the money comes in, then you're going to be in that negative cash flow cycle. So that doesn't help. So again, product, all of the, you can see all of these things are linked. If you get into the habit of productizing a service and charging based on the results and outcomes you get with an element of cash up front, well, you've just solved one immediate problem. You've just created a positive cash flow cycle if you can collect a 25 or 50% like deposit or enrollment fee or whatever it might be up front for your services, then put clients on a payment plan. So that helps steady the ship. And I always hear so many business owners like, oh, I've got a cash flow problem. Well, they don't. because the money flows in and it flows straight back out again. So there's no cash flow problem. What they've got is a making more money problem and a keeping money problem. It's twofold. So I'm very much about teaching business owners, especially in their business, let's focus on how can we charge a bit more for our products or service. So we focus on that cash collection up front. And then how do we keep that money? Because again, it's because we a lot of business owners in their own value system are very much easy come, easy go, living hand to mouth to pay their mortgage, put food on the table. That's not disciplined enough for your business. So when we do have a bit of an excess of cash in our business, we don't just go and spend it all. We look at in our head, what imagine if we wanted 6 or 12 months security, how much money would we have to have in a rainy day fund? And it might take 2 or 3 years to save up that rainy day fund. But my number, and I've worked very hard to get to, is 50K. I wasn't satisfied and confident until I had 50K sat in my bank, knowing that worst case, I fell off my bike, banged my head, or something happened that my mortgage and everything would be, and my business would be paid for a minimum of 6 months plus. And then I achieve that, and then it's like, oh, what's the next goal? You just move up a gear. What I've learned is that to kind of close the loop on this is that I may have my money wobbles over here, but I've created financial stability and security within my business. And now the lessons I've learned there, I've slowly been able to take into my personal life and start to apply them over, on the other side of the coin as well. And started to understand about investments and how to make money work better, not just for the business, but also for me personally and things like that. But you've got to go, there's so many stages there, development that you kind of got to go through in order to start to erode some of those sort of money worries.
Yeah, I agree. I think over time that they will alleviate some of the paradigms that that we have grown up with. But you've got to make the effort. And I think a lot of times it's best to go to see somebody outside of yourself, a coach or a mentor or somebody that can help you with and discover those challenges that you might be facing.
That's it. And to highlight this, Rose, I might invite you just to play a little bit if you're open to it. So we can, because there's a really important thing which we have to bear in mind, that there's two sides to making a money decision. So a lot of business owners will try and solve the financial, the number side of their business intellectually using this. But actually, as we know, when you're selling something, it's very much based on emotions. So if you're open to it, and I know this is asking a lot, and by all means to say, actually, Robin, I'd rather not. You said earlier on, oh, I might put my prices up. So would you like me to help you decide on maybe where your prices could end up?
Absolutely. Yes, let's do a little
Okay.
exercise.
So tell me if you're open sharing, so how much do you charge at the moment for what you do?
Online program I charge 149 Australian dollars for. So there's no videos, it's only reading material and they read through it. There's some exercises that they do, but it's so it's just self learning.
Great. So a DIY course effectively, and you don't provide it. There's no additional sort of support with that within that, or
They
calls
can email
or WhatsApp
me
groups
if
or
they've
anything.
got any questions, and there's
Email.
a
Okay, fab. So a bit of email support. Great. Well,
Facebook where
so
they
you.
can ask questions.
Great. Perfect. So you would agree with me at the moment, 149 feels too cheap because you said, right, I think I need to put the price up.
Oh,
Okay.
it's absolutely too cheap.
Well, maybe Rose, what we'll do is shameless plug for your program. Like, if people want to get in there and get it today, it's like 149 is a one-time thing. But after that, it's going to be far more expensive. So is there a world in your future where, I don't know, a year, 3 years, 5 years time, where maybe you're selling this course for like, I don't know, $1,000?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
That's my goal, to sell it and make it and put some videos in it so that it's for visual learners as well.
Great, excellent. What about like 1500, 2 grand? How far
I
would you? What's the limit?
was originally going to sell it for 2,28.
Okay.
I thought it was too expensive because it didn't have enough bits and pieces in it.
Okay, that's fair enough. So in the future we've got 2,800, but today it's 149. So, and this is the first lesson. Like most people, when they're thinking about pricing, they see it as very binary. It's either I'm in or I'm out. It's too cheap or too expensive. It's a yes or a no. But what we've just established there is that, you know, we've got this really broad bandwidth of pricing that you could apply to your course. Granted, some of that's in the future, but from 149 all the way up to $2,800, right? Let's rewind a clock. Let's come back to today now and imagine that you've got, you know, your next 10 pitches, you're going to commit to a higher price point, okay? So above 149. Now, what I want you to do is I just want you to don't have a poker face. I need you kind of just to tune into your body and just see what you're going to hear some numbers and we'll see where we end up with this. And just your body will tell me when we've hit a natural sort of limit as of like right now today. And you have to put your prices up, okay? So we're going to start at 149. So we're going to jump to 180, 250. Keep your eyes open for me if you can. 250, 300,
Sounds about right.
360. Is it, that's it. Is it we hit the okay, so
Yeah,
great. So
I could feel butterflies. I could feel my heart make a feeling.
great. Well, that's perfect. So so was 300 just inside or just outside your comfort zone?
Yeah, and maybe just a little bit more. It's got to end in a seven.
Okay, well, there we go. So 297 then.
Yep.
Yep. So we've doubled your price. And what happened there? So for those listening, I'll just explain what happened because they may not have got it. So you were vocal with it, which was great. But what happened, I could see Rose's body language. So while she did eventually sort of explain what happened about the butterflies, before that happened, when we hit 300, I could see Rose shrugging. Her shoulders went. You could see there was a bit of like almost withdrawal and just a bit of a, it was a gut reaction, right? So what's going on there is like pricing is not just about intellect and trying to figure out the numbers. There is also this subconscious side to pricing and how we value ourselves. And your subconscious at 300 said, yeah, you're worth that, basically.
Yeah, because
So
I can't explain the feeling I had. This in my heart here, it was like butterflies flapping in around in there. It was like really strange.
yeah, there you go. So we've doubled your price. And I always make the same offer to everybody, and I've done this exercise hundreds of times. Okay. So part of this challenge is like for the next 10 people that come into your world, you're going to pitch them 297. Okay. If nobody buys it at 297, I'm going to buy your course at $297. Okay. And we have witnesses. This is recorded, so this is genuine. But I have, there's one caveat to this. If you get to five people and you've had five no's, five rejections, I want you to let me know and we'll jump on a quick call and I'll do some sales training with you as well. Just a bit of sales role play around sort of how to articulate the value of this. Obviously, that's to swing the odds in my favor because, and but I want you to win this bet, irrespective of whether I buy it or hopefully you'll get a few clients on it. From my experience, when people actually accept take this bet up, they normally get because a good conversion rate on sort of courses these days is about 1 in 5 to 1 in 3, roughly. So, round it 20 to 40%. So, I can guarantee you're still probably going to sell two, three, or four of these at 297, and then you'll be like, oh my God, why didn't I do this sooner? Maybe I should charge more. So it'll build your confidence as well around pricing, and I can pretty much guarantee you'll come back to me before the end of the 10 pitches and you'll be like, actually, Robin, I've already put up to like 497.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see.
So that and that's it. So but this is like to kind of rationalize some of this, right? So we create these really dumb rules in our head, right? Around, especially when it comes to money and pricing and stuff like that. So, like, which idiot made up the rule that we can only put our prices up once a year on January the 1st by maybe 5 or 10% if we're feeling really brave, right? Which idiot made that up? You can put your prices up a dozen times a year if you want to. I mean, I probably wouldn't recommend it because it might introduce a bit of confusion and to your clients and things like that. So maybe don't do it quite as much, but you could, right? And you don't have to put it up by 10%. You can double, triple, quintuple. I've had clients 10x their prices, you know, and I've experienced that myself. Granted, it was more of a one-off when we went from sort of 1500 to 18K. But we did have a few which we sold for sort of 4, 5, 6K as well, depending on sort of the, you know, how many people we were going to get in the room and things like that. So yeah, just. And I always say, if you get into a pitch, if you're feeling really like confident and buoyed, like your husband's woken up and given you, like, he's in a really happy mood and that's rubbed off on you and you're in a happy mood and the dog's happy, the kids are happy, the sun's out, the world feels great. And you, somebody says, how much is it? Lean into that happiness, lean into that confidence. And if you had a number in your mind, take a deep breath. Yeah, actually it's 297. You know, and you can do that. And you can do that, like, yes, yesterday it could be 297. Tomorrow you could do a pitch and think, well, screw it. I'm even more happy than I was on Tuesday. So let's do 497.
Lizzie, if you want to know more about what Robin can offer you, you can find him on LinkedIn at Robin M. Waite. And Waite is spelled W-A-I-T-E. You can also find him at robinwaite.com and on YouTube under Robin M. Waite. And he's got a product or service, a service he wants to offer you. It's you can find it at fearless.biz/TYS. Tell me what that's about, Robin.
Yeah, so I've got some signed copies of Take Your Shot, my book, which need homes. So I'm offering that to your listeners. Anybody who would like a free signed copy, I literally ship them anywhere in the world. We've sent them to like Mongolia and South Africa and all across like North and South America and all around the world, Australia, New Zealand, you name it. There's an option in there to, if you want to contribute a bit towards postage, but you don't have to. If you just put your name and address in there, I'll send it anyway to anybody who would like a copy of that. So yeah, fearless.biz/TYS.
Wonderful. It's been an absolute pleasure, Rob. It's, I'll talk to you when we get off camera. But, yeah, thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing what you've shared today and making that little bet with me.
That's my pleasure, Rose. Good luck with the bet and thank you for inviting me on again.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com and be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time.